Starscream here, and I am the lord and master of the Geekcast Radio Network. Don't tell Megatron.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
This August, All Things Transformers will celebrate 15 years of being online, and now our full film reviews of Transformers live-action films continue. This time around, we explored Transformers: Dark of the Moon. I'm Steve Megatron, and joining me in this winter of mayhem is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we're three down, two to go at this point, as of this after this recording.
Our entire space race of the 1960s was in response to an event.
If you breathe a word of what you've seen here, we'll do time for treason.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us. You've made a grave mistake.
When they took over the planet.
You'll be fine, I promise.
It's over. I'm sorry, but it's over.
Oh. Optimus!
Your faith in us, but never in yourselves. From here, the fight will be your own.
And again, I have to say, and it is not recency bias. It's not any. Maybe it's bias of not having seen these damn things in however the hell long it's been since I've seen them. It's bad, but it's not as bad as I remembered it being. At least you have, you know, one dead icon fighting another icon that's still alive.
I didn't mind this film, actually. This was like the peak of Bay, and then it became a cluster from here on out.
Yes.
The only saving grace for the last two films in this five part series is Mark Wahlberg replacing all the annoying characters.
Yeah, that's true.
Because everybody else was completely unmemorable other than Kelsey Grammer getting blown away by Optimus Prime.
Poor Frasier. He can never catch
what a way to go. And, yeah, and exactly. That was so un-Prime-like. I just...
Yeah.
I got frustration, but we'll discuss that
later.
Later. But yeah, I mean, this film, I was expecting far worse on rewatch. Yeah. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it either. I still don't like Sam and Wow, I can't even believe I can say this. I almost said I still don't like Spike and Carly, but I still don't like Sam. And Carly's okay, except for the fact that they basically throw her in his and our face by basically she's his rich girlfriend and he's just her boy toy kind of thing. And I'm like,
oh, underwear God. Model that they threw in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No slight against her, but she kind of disappeared after that anyway.
Yeah.
I could have done without all of that. Like, they already had that with, and they fired Megan Fox from the third film.
Yep.
Because she had it out with Michael Bay for just kind of questionable conduct and just was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And he's like, fine, I'll replace you. And he did. And
pretty much, yeah.
I didn't dislike Carly. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't like what they kind of relegated Sam to be. You know, he was this hero. He was, you know, all these things. And then they were like, and you're a chump because you have a rich girlfriend, you have nothing, you have a piece of crap car, you are treated like dirt. The only reason you get anything is, but it also evaluated the proper, how corporate America works.
Well, yes.
Unless you know someone, you're never getting a job.
Yeah.
And unless you impress whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
you're never getting a job. And, so that, all of that kind of resonated because I'm currently looking for a job.
yes. Hire him, folks, please.
Yes. So it was just a little like I could relate, I guess you could say, with Sam, being that mm-hmm. the last time I saw this film was probably when I was employed. And so I was like, whatever, you know, and then now I'm like, I feel your pain, dude. Like I do.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then you got to, you know, you do all these magnificent things and you got to start in the mailroom, you know, you got to start at the bottom. And I have no issue with starting at the bottom. I know it's turned into my own personal tirade, but,
it's okay.
But yeah, I mean, I genuinely enjoyed Sam in this movie. He wasn't mm-hmm. annoying. He wasn't doing stupid crap. He was being selfless. He was, they relegated all of the annoying parts to his parents, which thankfully weren't very long in certain portions. They made Simmons have a purpose again, and then they got rid of Leo.
That's what they did. They took
but then they gave us the guy from The Hangover.
Oh God, I don't even remember now.
He was the Chinese guy.
Oh.
That barricaded him in the bathroom and pulled his pants down and gave him.
Oh, yeah. Him. What?
I was like, oh, why did they throw him in here? And I got it because at the time he was like all in everything. Like mm-hmm. he was in the Hangover movies. He was in on like all the films. I was like, why? I mean, he served a purpose at least. Unlike like Leo and the parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was okay. And then he was like destroyed shortly thereafter, flying out the window. And then John Malkovich was equally annoying because he tried to get in a fist fight with Bumblebee.
Yeah, that was I'm like, why would you make John Malkovich that kind of character? Like, come on.
Yeah, but I mean, it could have been worse.
And I completely forgot that we have a young Orion Pax in this movie. Of course, I didn't know. I forgot about this until recent events and recent cartoons and recent voices of certain characters. You have Optimus Prime as Simmons's butler. Alan Tudyk is Dutch. And I'm like, wait a minute. Alan Tudyk is Optimus Prime. He's not the butler to Sim or whatever, assistant or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, and he plays the accents and the different characters really well. I was fine with it. Like he.
Oh no, I love it. I think
he was one of the more entertaining parts.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, most definitely. But I'm like, wait a minute. Alan Tudyk was in a previous Transformers thing before Earth's Okay. All right. I got it. It's cool. And I like him. I mean, he's just a great actor. So regardless of how bad a movie is, I mean, at least in his scenes, he makes it better.
He did. He genuinely did. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, in how this movie kind of progressed, I liked how they did the Chernobyl thing.
Yeah, that was good. That was interesting. That was fun. I remembered, and I also forgot when they originally did the teasers for this that they were centering the beginning of it around the 60s and the space race and Kennedy and all that. I'm like, wait a minute, am I watching the right movie? Because I remember, like, the teaser poster initially came out with just the shadow of the robot, you know, Dark of the Moon, whatever kind of thing. But I had completely forgotten about the beginning part of the plot where it starts, you know, with the space race from the 60s. I was like, oh, right. This is interesting. This is cool. And this is another way to, just like in Revenge of the Fallen with them hiding and whatever, you know, this is another way for the government to be in on all of these top secret things. And I do like the, as I lose my voice, I do like the juxtaposition of not only in the 60s, they cut the cameras or they cut the communication so things can happen. They also did that when they returned to the Dark of the Moon, Dark Side of the Moon, and they started playing a bunch of Pink Floyd music. Sorry, folks, that's the only Pink Floyd joke I'll have this episode. Of course, you know, Dark Side of the Moon, great album, all that good stuff. But I love that juxtaposition of how at each time, both in the 60s and in the present day, they still, you know, cut everybody off from really knowing what they are doing there in order to save Commander Spock. I'm sorry, Sentinel Prime. Hey, at least he wasn't a snowplow.
Mr. Plow.
Yeah, Mr. Plow. That's right. Mr. Plow. I'm Plow King. Okay, Barney. Oh, Lord. Yep, there you go. Wow. Wow. I forget who does Barney's voice off the top of my head, but like, what in the hell is he doing in this room? That was pretty good.
That's what happens when you watch too many cartoons and you try and replicate Maurice LaMarche's burps.
Yep. That's what this movie needed, a burp symphony.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It would have made it more entertaining anyway.
I mean, this movie is entertaining, again.
It's entertaining. They actually, I can't slight it too much. They actually did really good, and it was wrapped up.
Yeah.
They didn't drag it out for the sake of dragging it out. There was nothing really. I didn't hate it. Like, to be honest, I really didn't. This was much better than the previous one. It ended the trilogy as it should have.
Yep.
It took out the big bads. Like you had Starscream go, you had, you know, all the Decepticons die.
Yeah.
And you had Sentinel go down. And I did think it was kind of funny how they teased in the beginning of the movie with Wheelie. Oh man, I saw this one. This is the one where Spock goes nuts.
Yeah, I guess I should have seen that coming back in 2011. And
when I watched it, I'm like, well, we know what's happening today.
Yeah, I completely. Like,
it's so obvious. Like they threw that little thing in there. Like, I mean, I mean, it was funny. Don't get me wrong. I just it kind of gave away the whole movie.
And I know everyone was like, back then they were like, oh, Shockwave, he's gonna be the big bad and this, that, and the other thing. And technically he kind of is, but he obviously isn't. He's more of the first big bad kind of thing. And then, you know, we get, and I think this is what was that toy we recently talked about? Is it the new Scourge? The new Rise of the Beasts Scourge, the truck mode on that. We talked about this recently on one of these one of our news episodes a few months ago.
Yep.
So when I'm watching Dark of the Moon and I see this Junkion looking truck start rolling down the desert, I'm like, oh wait, what's that doing back here? That's not supposed. Oh right, that's Megatron, right? Are they reusing a design from Dark of the Moon for the new? Like, I know it's a different design, but like when I saw, like, I'm like, where have I seen this Scourge truck mode before? And I'm like, oh right, it's Dark of the Moon Megatron. I could be wrong, obviously, most likely, but I don't know. I just really dug, like, Megatron has been many things over the last nearly, you know, 39 and a half, 40 years. And he's always ended up nowadays being a jet or a tank or a truck or something. And I really dug this truck mode for Megatron because not only is he still damaged,
he's not a tank either. And so it was kind of nice to see him damaged. He had the little scraplets on at his head and and, you know, he's flicking them around and Master, you know, you're damaged.
Here, get out of here, Starscream.
Yeah.
He sounded kind of like Scourge, which was kind of funny.
A little bit, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, Hugo Weaving's voice for Megatron in this was slightly different. It was, you know, you have to play the role a little different when you're dead or when you're, you know, coming damaged. Back to life. Yeah, damaged, whatever.
It's funny that they had Frank Welker play Shockwave and Soundwave and Barricade.
But not Megatron.
Not Megatron, although he came back as Galvatron.
In the next movie, yeah.
Yeah. But I was just happy that they had Soundwave.
Yep.
I was like, yes, they got Welker.
Yep. That was the good thing. That was awesome. It's
sad that they took out Ironhide, though.
Yeah, Ironhide was great. Not just because I love who voices him, obviously, Jess Harnell, but... Yeah, I really dig Ironhide, and it just, I mean, it kind of sucks that everybody's dying, obviously, kind of thing, but, yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking, because I want to make sure that I get this correct, because heaven forbid I say something on a podcast, and somebody's like, Chief Joe and Mike, you're an idiot, that's not it. So, we know what Dark of the Moon Megatron looks like, and I'm just sending this to you in Skype, and that's the vehicle mode for the new Scourge. And I swear they're not the exact same.
It's very similar. It's
very similar. And I'm only bringing this up and saying this because I like it. I like this design. I like that truck design for Decepticons. And again, like I said a moment ago, when I saw the truck design on Megatron, I'm like, that's cool. I like that. That's good. Because it's not often that, like, normally a truck design like Dark of the Moon Megatron, I would expect, you know, for, like, Motormaster or one of the Constructicons or, you know, something like that. Like, I would not expect this kind of thing. And, yeah, it's really, really fun. And, yeah, so earlier you were mentioning, like, the character shifts and how we like the you know, like, certain things that Sam is doing, whatever else. For me, what I noticed is we've had two movies where Sam 90% of the time is a dumbass and does stupid things. He's still a dumbass and does stupid things, but they've removed all of the jokey image. They've matured him by this movie, and all of the jokey bullshit falls to Wheelie and Brains, and then the ice cream twins of Skids and Mudflap. And I'm just like, oh, God. If there was ever a live-action Transformer character that needed to be ripped in two or four or whatever, destroyed, it's Skids and Mudflap. God. And then Leo is just cannon fodder. Like, that's all he is. Like, So I do like that they switched the kind of, you know, human idiotic characteristics to other people, not just Sam. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about Chernobyl, and I know when we did Bumblebee, I was like, oh, it's so nice to finally see the trailer in the way that it's supposed to look.
Yep.
But we have the trailer in this movie. Again, I forgot. The trailer is here. It's not exact, but it's close enough. I still like seeing it, even though it's the wrong, like, cab. It's not the flat nose cab. It's the elongated cab for the Optimus Prime truck. But, like, the fact that there is the trailer, that's like, okay. Okay, it works. I like it. It's cool. The Sentinel twist of getting a deal with Megatron and then basically him just double-crossing Megatron and him, like Wheelie said, this is the one where Spock goes nuts, you know. And I actually had to look up, and I know it was 4 years after this is when Leonard Nimoy died, like, because I'm watching this movie and I'm hearing his voice, regardless of the character or the character, but it's still Leonard Nimoy's voice as a character. And I'm like, wait a minute, when did he die? And I think it was somewhere around 2015, 2016.
I think he died in 2016.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, it was kind of, again, you know, you talk about Megatron being the voices that he's supposed to be or the voices that he has always been. You know, Leonard Nimoy, even though he wasn't using really his, it was his voice, obviously, but he wasn't like that. The Transformers, the movie voice he has for Galvatron is not exactly Spock voice. He does something to it, or there is something done to it in the movie where you can clearly tell it's Leonard Nimoy, but it's not what his normal voice is. And I like that this one is just his normal voice. It's just him speaking. So. But yeah, I mean, so interesting to see where this trilogy went and how they finally did, you know, the whole, you know, bringing in the Cybertronian stuff. And of course, what are you going to do to end your supposed trilogy? You're going to copy the Ultimate Doom. You're going to bring Cybertron to Earth and everyone is going to get destroyed.
And that's not the first time they do this.
Oh, no.
They do it yet again in a later film.
What?
They try and bring, you know, Cybertron.
In Age of Extinction or Last Night?
Last Night.
See, okay. Well, that's a spoiler for me because I only made it into 10 minutes of that movie. So.
Well, I don't remember enough of it. I'm reading up on the history of, like, Galvatron Megatron.
Right, yeah.
He at least had a better look.
Yeah.
When he was reborn.
Yeah.
You know, he looks more Megatronish in The Last Night without his battle mask. But
yeah,
I absolutely loathe Megatron up to this point. Like, I do like how Carly, like, manages to call him a punk.
Yep.
In this movie.
Yeah. Oh,
what do you think he's going to do when he's done with what he's doing here? You aren't going to last long.
Yeah.
And then Megatron goes in and starts helping Prime.
Yep. Yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording these much later than I thought we were going to, even though they're going to release, you know, backdated release. But we are recording this, well, maybe it won't be. Maybe I'll just end up putting, like, 4 episodes out in a row. We are recording this.
That would be fun for people.
Yeah, really. Well, it is all things Transformers, and apparently, well, obviously, it's our most popular show, so, you know.
It is.
If people want to keep hearing it, they can keep hearing it. So we are recording this February 28th, 2023. For a minute there, I almost said 2021. Leonard Nimoy died February 27th, 2015. He was 83 years old. So I guess technically this episode is dedicated to the memory of Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
let's go with it.
Let's go with that. Oh, man. Yeah, but every, like, there's no, like you said, this is the closing off of this trilogy, and then they couldn't even get another trilogy because
it performed so badly. Nobody wanted another one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it may have performed badly. The budget was $195 million. The box office was $1.124 billion. I don't know how that's performing badly monetarily, but maybe like with audiences, maybe audiences didn't really like this movie, but I don't know. So yeah, Dark of the Moon. There's not much else we can say, folks, because we really enjoyed it more than like even the critiques, like the effects were great. The Cybertron coming to Earth. Oh man, that visual of trying to pull the planet through the whatever. I don't want to say this. It is the space bridge, but it really isn't. It's like this new weird fangled version of a space bridge, and that was fun. I mean, it was. I don't remember what we said in the original 2011 episode we did. Although I didn't go back and listen to that.
I think we tore it apart.
We probably did, because we were so jaded after Revenge of the Fallen.
We were like, this movie blows.
Yeah.
Destroy it. Yeah. Throw it out an airlock.
Yep. Is there anything else we want to bring up as far as the movie goes? Because, like, I'm not opposed to doing a short podcast, but I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we need to say about Dark of the Moon that...
I mean, I was a little sad that they basically murdered all the bots. Like, that's the one thing, the one main gripe I have is the continual death of... all of the Autobots and Decepticons in each film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't... I like it, mm-hmm. it to some extent, but, like, you shouldn't just wipe out your cast, like, every film.
Yeah.
And then bring them back.
Yeah.
Like, pick one and stick with it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like... It's so crazy. I mean, I get it if this was the, like you said, it's the end of the trilogy here. It's kind of, you know, closing it off, which was good because by 2011, did we really, like, I was not expecting, and I remember back then, I was not expecting a fourth film in 2014. And then the trajectory of these movies after that. Fourth film was 2014, fifth film, which is... last night, was 2017, and then we got Bumblebee in 2018. Like, 14 to 17, 3 years split. Okay, sure, that's about as long as most artists take to put out new albums or whatever else kind of thing. But a 1 year split between the release of last night and then Bumblebee, it was like, whoa. Okay. Well, they want a reboot. They're going to get a reboot. So somebody – now that's a battle I would love to see. Megatron versus Megabyte. That would be interesting.
That would be funny.
That would be funny. So Dark of the Moon, 0 to 5. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give this one a 4.
Yeah,
I'm kind of surprised, but – I'm going to give it a 4. Like, yeah. I did not hate the film.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 3.5. There was just a little bit too much of Leo for me. Like, he's a third wheel.
Oh, are you saying for Revenge of the Fallen or Dark of the Moon?
No, for Dark of the Moon.
Leo wasn't in this.
Wasn't he?
No.
Oh. I could have sworn he was.
No, this is all about the boy toy thing. This had Patrick Dempsey in it.
Oh, all right.
If you're going by that standard, I might give it a lower rating because he was kind of a...
he was a dude. Yeah. Okay, so there apparently there's more that we do. I'm losing my mind here, folks. So Patrick Dempsey's character, again, it's this whole switch around of the Sentinel being an Autobot, betraying the Autobots, working with the Decepticons, and then obviously you have Sam, who is working with the Autobots. Well, stands to reason the logic that you would have somebody else on Earth working with the Decepticons, and that's who the Patrick Dempsey character is, and he's not a bad actor. He's not acting badly in this role at all. It's just the role itself is just super sleazy thing.
Well, yeah, he's schmoozing up to the Decepticons, to Carly, to
So okay, yeah. Now that you've knocked my brain cells together like a bunch of three. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I agree. Four's all around. Yeah, I mean because Sentinel and Cyber, we get a little bit of Cybertron, not much. I mean, we get a lot of Cybertron since they're trying to bring the planet to this planet, but like we don't get much of the backstory of them being on Cybertron other than they flee and then, the ship was lost and Sentinel was lost and all that. So yeah, I agree.
All was lost.
Till all are gone.
All was lost, Optimus.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, all right, folks, I think that's going to do it for the movie. I'm not looking forward to the next two. After Revenge, I was like, okay, I know Dark of the Moon gets much better, but for some odd reason, I was really dreading watching this again as well. And again, like we've said, it's not as bad as we remember it being, or it's not like maybe time. That's the bias here. We've had such a passage of time since we've actively watched these movies because.
Well, the other thing, too, you got to remember, CGI has gotten horrible in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has. Like the quality of CGI that we got back then even is better than what we get now.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at She-Hulk or look at, Loki stop. Or half these shows that are on Disney right now that just look like a travesty by comparison. Then you look at The Mandalorian, and at least it looks decent.
Oh, God, we're recording this one day before season 3 of Mando. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm recording with Hank for the premiere episode on his network tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Cool.
For Mando.
Yeah, I know. Cool. All right. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
You seemed a little pitchy, dog.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninibong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Find out.
We are back here on All Things Transformers, the Winter of Bayhem, and we are going to do just a tiny bit of news. We got two news stories that we're going to talk about, because looking through the news, it's not, like, there's news, but it's not a lot of stuff that excites at least us, or it's not, like, I know there's the news article about the new, because they did it on the Hasbro Pulse fan stream thing about the Armada Prime coming. Do you and I care about Armada Prime? Like, I don't think so.
I mean, I like it. I like the fact that he's going to have more articulation. I did get my hands on an Armada Prime with the trailer a while back.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally won't be collecting.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're one of those people that has been waiting on.
Yeah.
A proper, you know, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we want to talk about, because I don't remember us talking about it before, we have Cyber Transformers Origins Jazz available to order now. Obviously, this is coming out. It came out February. Okay, came out today. As far as the news for this, and this is the Cybertron mode Jazz. From Generation 1, so he's got, you know, his standard Jazz body, and I love, because this is the Cybertron mode, you do not need a number on this thing anywhere, because that's my biggest sticking point with the Studio Series 86 Jazz, is that it's 14, not 4 on it, and whatever, but, like, where the 4 usually is, it's just an Autobot symbol on this, and then...
Which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, it makes sense. And that alt mode, man, oh.
I love the alt mode, and this is the thing for me. Like, it's like, borderline close to that Megatron that I'm dying for.
Yeah.
And it's got the port right on the top for the cannon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because realistically, if they could re-engineer this in a way and kind of recreate that Megatron that I've been trying to build, and then you just get rid of the spoiler in the back, I mean, and change part of the... But, yeah, I mean, I really like this. This, out of the Cybertronian ones, like the... like, my kids have the Bumblebee one.
Mm-hmm.
They found it, like, discount somewhere for, like, $5.
Cool.
And they both bought it.
Cool.
So I would be tempted for the Jazz just because I like the transformation. Like, I would probably just keep him in the Cybertronian mode just because I like it so much.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, most definitely. Like, look, I love this Jazz. I love the robot mode, and this is one of those things where if it was still the days of buying, you know, every Transformers fan, they come in twos. Buy in two. That way, not only do you have one to keep in the box as the robot, you can have one to take out of the box and put as the alt mode, and you can just leave the robot mode in box. But, I mean, the robot mode is great. That alt mode is great. Like, most definitely that. And the first image here of the alt mode where it's facing to the left or whatever, I'm like, that kind of looks like a mini vacuum. Kind of looks like a handheld dustbuster.
Yep.
Especially with the grill on the front, like, I'm just now, I'm like, yep, that's definitely vacuum lines. Like, That's hilariously awesome.
Jazz, were you a dustbuster in your previous life?
Yep.
You know it. Yep. Can you dig it? We can dig it, Jazz.
Hey, Jazz, you know what sucks? What? You. Because Dirt Devil busted.
And the other one we're going to bring up because I think it's super cool and super great and awesome, and I'll probably never have it, but I still love that they did it. They took the – I assume it's the same as Omega Supreme, but they're doing the Guardian robot, and it's essentially a blue Omega Supreme to look like the Guardian robot from the old animated series, and I love that. It's so cool looking.
I have a feeling that this is from – the same toy from War for Cybertron. I could be wrong, but it looks like the same toy.
So yes, according to this news article, it says this figure is a redeco of Titan class Siege Omega Supreme, inspired by the Guardian robots from the G1 cartoon episode War Dawn. And that's what I thought. Like, I'm not expecting Hasbro to make a whole — and with this, you don't need to make a whole new mold. You can just essentially repaint an Omega Supreme, maybe give him a different head, a different face under the head, under the whatever there. But, like, yeah, this is essentially just a repaint of Titan Omega, which is great because it's really cool. And who is this? This is Guardian Lunar 07. I'm not that big into mini-bots, but his robot mode looks kind of cool. It's like gray, white, orange, and blue. His alt mode is kind of silly. It kind of reminds me of a roller with a satellite dish, because it has a satellite dish on it. But yeah, so that's what's going on for the news that we're going to talk about.
Yep.
Today, tonight, whenever you find people are listening to this. Anything else you want to bring up? Anything else you want to say before I run through the closings here?
Nope.
Alrighty then. Well, we've got two more, folks. And, oh boy, two more. I really cannot believe we've made it this far and we're not just, like, ripping our eyeballs out. Like, again, like we've said in this episode and the previous two episodes for the original Bay films, it's like, okay, well, I guess time heals all wounds, and now that we're revisiting the wounds, it's not exactly as bad as I thought it was going to be. Oh, boy. All right. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please, Spotify, and of course, any other podcatching client you choose to use. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes if you would like to. This is an old script, folks. Yes, iTunes is still a thing. We are on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at All Things TFV3 for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
He also has another Twitter, folks, BW_Megatron, and I'm wondering if Megatron is going to do, like, a running commentary of Rise of the Beasts.
Never know. It'd be pretty funny, actually.
Yes, it would be. Very.
And then I'll have to voice it later.
Yeah, yeah. Or I could just find a way to do this.
Yes.
Become a fan on Facebook if I haven't already said that. Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out All Things Transformers over there as well. Join us next time when Steve and I will be talking about the Age of Extinction in The Winter of Bayhem, Part 5. For now, I'm TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron.
We hope you'll transform and transcend with us as we make our way through the Bayhem.
With a pleasant surprise.
Yes. Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.